This is the Catholic Insider. This show is brought to you by the SQPN store at store.sqpn.com. Buy our featured articles at great prices or shop for any article at Amazon via the link on our website, and a portion of your purchase will help support SQPN. Hi, and welcome to another edition of the Catholic Insider. In this episode, we will visit the Forks Market in Winnipeg, Canada. Enjoy! So we're on the other side of the river right now, and we're actually standing in front of the old railway station, Union Station, Gare Union. And on the other side of the railway, you can just see the big Gothic hotel, which seems to be haunted. And behind us is the river. So the railway, that's actually where things started here in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, there's the railway is still the primary means of moving goods around here, primarily grain. We do a lot of grain farming here, and it's distributed all over the world. It's actually funny, the reason Winnipeg grew so much is because it received the contract for the railroad. There's a town north of here, about half hour north, called Selkirk, named after Lord Selkirk.
Uh-huh.
And they were in bidding to try to get the railroad contract. Well, it turns out it ended up going to Winnipeg instead of Selkirk due to some political shenanigans. And Selkirk now is a town of about 10,000, and Winnipeg is about 650,000.
Whoa.
So that's how Winnipeg became like a transportation hub for the rest of Canada, bringing in, of course, a lot of economy and commerce and...
Yeah, Winnipeg is primarily called, it's the gateway to the west, so from here most jumping off points are over through the prairies to the rest of Western Canada.
Now, just before we started this recording, there was a huge train passing by with two locomotives and then containers two rows high. I mean, just two containers stacked on each other. It's quite impressive to see that.
Yeah, those containers...
And that all goes to the United States, isn't it?
Or most of it? That train looked like it was headed towards the U.S. Those containers are the standard containers you see throughout the world. They fit on a ship, they fit on the backs of big semi-trucks, and they also fit on trains. So it's kind of modal transportation that they can load them everywhere. There's a train from here that I believe goes all the way down as far as Texas, and there's also train lines east and west throughout the rest of Canada, and then one north that actually goes all the way up to the port of Churchill, which is actually on the Arctic Ocean.
And here within this part of the town, it's actually a bit of a tourist attraction here. It's called the Forks, right?
Yeah, that's where we are.
They have old train, well, what is this? Like an old wooden...
A caboose? Yeah, it was at the very end of the train.
That's
where the conductors would live while they were going across the country.
Oh, interesting.
So they would monitor different aspects of the train from here, and this would also act as not only their office but also their sleeping quarters.
So you call this a caboose?
Caboose.
So the caboose is an orange collared or well orangey, almost pink kind of wooden caboose.
Yeah.
it says CNR serves all Canada.
Yeah, it's Canadian National Railway.
Right. It's got even a small tower on top of it, with a few windows. So this is where the crew, because of course these train tracks were just all across the country, so it took days perhaps to go from one place to another.
Absolutely, yeah.
To have a crew and crew quarters.
Yeah. Yeah,
to keep the train running.
And you may be dropping off and picking up cars along the way, and it would take a long, long time to go from one end to the other.
Oh, I imagine. Of course, trains at that time were a lot slower than nowadays. Here's some more of these cabooses.
This would be a boxcar.
A boxcar.
Boxcars. Yeah, these boxcars would be containing goods and parcels and all sorts of things.
So, what kind of stuff is Canada exporting to the United States? Just grain, or
we export a lot. Obviously, a lot of grain, a lot of other agricultural products, canola, as well as such things as all animals, of course, whether it's beef or pork or chicken. We actually have a lot of sugar beets. We provide a lot of sugar from.
So it's all kind of raw material, like the basic material, and then it gets refined and then treated in the United States.
And it goes for a lot of our other the other things we come up with as well, whether it be from mining. So we have many in the north. There's many different mines that produce copper, nickel, silver, gold, those sorts of things.
Right.
As well as timber. So there's lots of trees.
Oh, of course, lumber. Yes.
We were one of the primary suppliers besides the province of Quebec for a lot of the U.S. housing market for different wood to build homes with in the,
right.
in the U.S.
So we're walking here, walking to the Forks, and here is a building called the Forks Market, and it's looks like a somewhat older building, but on the inside it's all tourist shops and restaurants and bars, and you can see lots of people and families walking around here, and the music is coming from the original pancake house. They love pancakes in this town. We just came from a restaurant on the French side of the river where we had crepe, so pancakes, and I've never seen so many pancakes on one menu. It's just quite impressive in all sorts of combinations, both sugar and cream and whatever, and also sausage and frankfurter and egg. They even had pancakes with omelette in it, which is kind of like the best of two worlds together. Here is a small ice skating area. It's octagonal or even more corners. There's a tent ceiling, and kids are skating here on the ice. And of course, since this part of Canada can be so cold during the winter, skating is huge here. And it's not the kind of skating that we have over here, over in the Netherlands, where it's mostly speed skating and long distance skating. But I guess you guys got. Lots of, you know, like hockey, of course, and yeah. Figure skating, is that
a lot of
big?
Figure skating, usually, up until recently, the girls would also play a sport called ringette, which is similar to hockey, and now a lot of girls play hockey as well. And there's also, as you can tell by the color of the skates, the white ones
yeah.
that you see are figure skates. The black
yeah.
ones are hockey skates.
Ah, I see. So, did you do any skating when you were a kid?
I did quite a bit. I started skating when I was 4 or 5 years old. I played hockey for about 7 or 8 years, like every small rural kid in Manitoba.
Oh, really? Boys and girls, or just boys?
Boys, as I said, most of the girls, at least in my little town I grew up in, would be into figure skating or ringette.
Right. And George, did you do any skating when you were young?
I tried.
Or younger
to.
Than you are now?
I tried to. I wasn't much of a skater, but I do play sponge hockey now.
What is sponge hockey?
It's a game they play in Manitoba, and I think most of Canada. You have special shoes, which are kind of spongy material, spongy rubber.
Ah.
And instead of skates, you wear these special shoes.
So it doesn't have blades, but
no,
it's just you glide over the
ice? You glide
over
the ice. And,
that sounds like fun.
It's very fun. And same rules. We play the hockey rules, Canadian hockey rules. And it's outdoors, not indoors. We play outdoors.
Wow.
Minus 40, 45. You got everyone outside playing.
No kidding.
No, and no equipment.
Natural ice.
Natural ice, rubber shoes, and outdoors, the way Canadians play hockey.
Awesome. Oh, I have to do that one day. I mean, that sounds like my thing. Regular skating, I've never been a pro at that, but if it's just gliding with spongy shoes, I think I could do that.
Sponge hockey is for the Canadian kid that never made it in the NHL and can't play in the World Junior Hockey Championship. Sponge hockey is the closest thing to winning your championship or playing with a community center or sports teams like Chris did with ice hockey. You
know, so it's still taken seriously. I mean, it's not just...
Hockey here is religion for Canadians.
That's what I saw, yeah.
It doesn't matter if you came from China or from Europe or from Canada itself. Hockey here is blood.
Amazing.
Well, you can see here.
All these kids know how to skate, and they're doing a pretty good job.
Here,
someone is. Yeah, he's learning.
Yeah, he's still trying to walk on ice. Well, you start to learn that you need to push off and turn your feet sideways in order to go forwards, and then you can glide.
Yeah, he's trying to walk.
He's trying to
that
walk
doesn't
with
work.
Thin little blades on his feet, and that's why people are holding him up. So,
or just waiting for him to fall. I mean, he's just. An accident waiting to happen. Yeah, and some of these really small kids that do a pretty good job.
Yeah.
And yesterday during the match, there was like an intermission or between two 20-minute periods. All the kids came on the ice and they did some kind of a game. And I was amazed. It was like 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, and they went at it with a speed. It's
yeah,
just
it was,
And you notice all the people cheering for them.
Oh, yeah.
1,000 people
that
cheering for
these
little kids. That
must feel very special in a big professional stadium like that. Some other kids are walking around with these...
toboggans.
How do you call it?
Toboggans.
Toboggan. Toboggans.
Slides.
Like slides.
Slides.
Yeah. So bright blue and orange colored slides. And I guess they go to the riverbank and then just slide down from the hill up to the ice. That sounds like fun. Okay, let's move along.
Sure.
It's awesome.
Let's go take a walk.
Yeah, let's go inside the market. See what kind of products they sell. There's also a tower here on the left of this Forks Market. And you can go up. It's green colored glass. Structure, green structure. It's like almost blue green. The whole building seems to be a combination of yellow stone and then blue green type of construction. Lots of glass. Oh, and it's so nice to be inside because it's warm here. Ooh, and I smell the good stuff here. What's this? Chocolate pecan.
Fudge.
Oh, that's fudge. Is that like a Canadian version of fudge?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the origins of it would be, but as you can see, we have things that obviously include the Canadian staple of maple. And
maple fudge. And
nuts, maple fudges. And
right.
A lot of different desserts would have been brought here, and this is one of the ones that keeps on. And high sugar content, good for warming up.
Oh, yeah, this is a dentist's dream, you know. He would like all his customers to eat this every day and night and not brush their teeth, and that's how to get rich. So this is a fudge station. Actually, the inside is like a market hall, and so it's got this high ceiling, wooden ceiling, and then on the sides, all sorts of small stores and bars where you can buy food, and or just buy these local products. Lots of Canadian flags here in this gift shop, the Two Rivers. Because this is actually, there are two rivers here in the downtown.
Yeah, the Assiniboine River, which flows out from the western half all the way from Saskatchewan to here. And then the Red River, which flows all the way from Mississippi, I believe, all the way up to the Arctic Ocean. Well, it flows into a lake. They meet here in Winnipeg.
So they join or
join together. This is kind of the end of the road for the Assiniboine River. And then it merges into the Red, and they continue on north together. So.
Wow. So that's... the origin of the name, the Two Rivers gift shop. Lots of candy here. Chocolate, Tootsie Rolls, Charleston Chew, Marco Polo. That's a good name for a chocolate bar. Eat More. Nuts. Lots of nuts and dried fruit. Here's real fruit. Le Beaujolais Nouveau est arrivé. So they have a wine store. And nice local atmosphere here. Another gift store where you can buy slipper boots, like fur boots. And grassroots prairie chicken, kitchen, sorry. That's a whole food type of store.
Organic
food. Yeah, that's definitely, going up in consumer attention right now. Here's a Chinese restaurant. Oh, no, it's Japanese sushi. And it's just a market here. You can buy all sorts of pasta. Penne. What's this? Rigati. Tagliatelle. Mafaldine. Wow, this is specialized pasta. That's not the kind of stuff that you buy in the local supermarket. Granoro mezzilitti. This must be all, imported from Italy itself. Here they've got their frozen section with frozen pasta. Quick and healthy frozen pasta. That sounds like an oxymoron to me. Frozen pasta. I've never seen frozen pasta.
Oh, it must be
Why
fresh.
On earth would you? What is that? We carry
bison
and buffalo elk.
And elk.
Wow.
Yeah. Wild meat.
Wild. Oh yeah, ground elk. And where's the bison?
I'm sure there's some in there.
Saucisse. This is boulette. This is chicken. Let's see. This
looks even more wild. Veal miscellaneous. It's like, oh, we found this. We had no idea what animal this was from. This basically looks like a bunch of, you know, wrapped in plastic pieces of what you would get if you run over these deer with a truck and just freeze it and sell it. Here's another meat section, lots of sausages and steak. So yesterday I was told that Canada is world famous for its pork also, right? So it's exported to as far as Japan and, you know, yes. It's amazing. So what's so special about porks here? I mean, the United States has pork. Well, we have pork.
Remember correctly, it's because we grow our hogs to be raised on grain as opposed to corn. In the U.S., most of the feed meal that they use is based off of corn. Here, it's based off of grain and apparently...
Oh, okay, and grass and stuff. You should get grass. A different taste, a different color.
It gives a different color and a different taste to the meat, and apparently the Japanese prefer it. So we are able to sell quite a bit to Japan and other countries. So we...
I had no idea.
The majority of our meat is probably made for export, and we come up with quite a bit of it.
So you export the good meat and you eat the ribs yourself.
Yeah, apparently the bones weigh too much, so we don't send those off across the ocean. Instead, you can get a lot of really cheap ribs here, and they're really good.
Oh yeah, I had ribs yesterday evening. Yes. It was so succulent and of really good quality.
Yeah, and you'll see them all around here, and as well. This is also, of course, when you have that large of a market for any given meat product, you can of course get the local stuff as well. Not all of it goes over.
Just the smell here, it smells like cinnamon and apple. This is like a artisanal kind of bakery?
Yeah, this is arguably a famous bakery for the city of Winnipeg. It's called Tall Grass Prairie. It is
their Red original Company.
Location. Is actually in a neighborhood nearby here. This is, I guess, the second location where they grow primarily with all organic materials, and they are more of a kind of holistic type of bakery. And as you can tell, their cinnamon buns are pretty much the best in the city.
It smells good. It smells really good. And there are lots of girls there working, and they're actually preparing the bread right here in the middle of the market. And they sell all sorts of cookies here: ginger snap, oatmeal, raisin, chocolate chip cookies. They've got Manitoba, Saskatoon jam, apricot, sunrise jam. They've got all sorts of muffins and sugary rolls. Oh, and it smells so good. It, you know, we've just eaten, otherwise I would be severely tempted.
No apologies.
I cannot imagine that you walk by here not having had lunch and don't stop to eat something. So we're in a different part here. This is like a second hallway that is parallel to the one that we were just in. And this looks more like an open market. There's some music even here. Girl playing the violin. She's playing a song called Harvest Home. Or a tune, I should say. A couple walking by and the lady's just dancing while she eats her ice cream. Very cool. Here's a coffee store. It's all like Whole Foods and, you know, natural products. This looks like a seafood market. So this is all imported from, you know, from far away, I suppose.
Yep.
I
mean, the Atlantic salmon would come from the St. Lawrence area. I know that there's quite a bit of Atlantic salmon fishing in and around Montreal.
Is there any fishing on the rivers, or is that impossible?
Yeah, we have many different species of fish here as well. They're not that size necessarily, but they're freshwater species. And as well, we have over 100,000 lakes in the province. And
wow, yeah, sure, of course. Yes. I saw them from the plane, and it was like... one lake after another, all frozen up right now, of course.
And some may have trout, other may have local fish, or one that's common to North America called walleye, pickerel, which is very good eating, as well as species called northern pike, perch, bass, and many others. Lake trout, which can get to be almost 80 pounds or so. It's a pretty good fish to catch.
Amazing.
Looks quite a bit like that salmon right there. But those are mainly in the very northern lakes. This gold eye here is a
Like small red fish?
It's been smoked primarily in August on larger, more shallow lakes when the water warms up. These fish run. They all start going into a feeding frenzy.
Uh-huh.
And when they're caught, since they're smaller, the easiest way to cook them up is to smoke them like this, and it's actually a local delicacy.
Ooh. And they look very pretty. It's like they have a gold, a red haze, and they're kind of shiny. It looks beautiful.
Before they're smoked, they're kind of a tan gold color.
Ah, I see. Beautiful. It's all for sale here in the marketplace. Fish and chips. You can see some other influences here. Chilean counter corner. Caribbean delights. You've got pizzerias here. I guess the food also reflects the kind of melting pot kind of culture that you have in this town, in this city. So there you go. That's the smells and sights and sounds of the Forks Marketplace.
And that's it for this episode of The Catholic Insider. You can find more episodes, as well as many other great Catholic podcasts, on the website of the StarQuest Production Network at www.sqpn.com. I'm Father Roderick. See you next time, and God bless.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.